We are listening to Rigoletto this evening, but I had a chance not so long ago to speak with tenor Jonas Kaufmann, who will be singing his Met role debut as Parsifal beginning this Friday, February 15th. And you'll be able to hear that broadcast the opening night of Parsifal. The production also stars Rene Papa, Katarina Dalaimon, and Peter Mattei. And when I spoke with Kaufmann last week, we talked about the many traditions that were associated with Parsifal, and among them is its exclusivity at Bayreuth for many years and its exalted place in the world of German art. So I asked him how he, as a German artist, feels about performing this extraordinary role in this extraordinary opera.
Christianity wasn't created in Germany, so it's not the foundation of this story is not the typical German one, but the combination of it with that word that, as we know, Wagner was not only very careful with, but he also invented all the texts. So he was extremely precise also in putting the right words together in combination with that music is extremely overwhelming. When you understand every single word, it's so deeply thoughtful that it really has to touch you. And of course, I grew up with Wagnerian music. I have my family also was very much into that kind of music. So I have a background on the history on that. Therefore, it's something that is in my blood, in my veins. And whenever I hear that music, I really get goosebumps. And it's really magical.
So absolutely. You grew up surrounded by that sound?
Yes. I have to say, it's not that we didn't take it that religious, and our religion praising Wagner or something like that. At least I didn't feel it that way. But obviously there was a strong tendency that this was the number one composer, not thinking obviously other than his music he has written, because we all know that if he would have kept his mouth shut, we all would love him even more. You mentioned the exclusivity to Green Hill, to Bayreuth. Wagner was extremely precocious, and he wanted this piece to be exclusively there, as he said, and even his wife Cosima, she was fighting for it. She was fighting to prolong the exclusivity rights on the piece, even when Richard was dead already, so because she didn't want to allow this piece to be played anywhere else. And actually the first place it was played was in New York, but not officially, so they didn't have the license to do so. And I think the poor guy who conducted that production, a German one, he was banned then later, so he couldn't step foot into any German theaters because of this sacrilege that he had done in bringing the holy Wagner music to someplace else.
Okay. You know,
terrible story. We cannot imagine the ideas that they had at that time.
You have to wonder, I mean, was it just that she wanted to keep that work only for Bayreuth because of philosophical or emotional reasons, or was it just really great marketing?
Because I believe, exactly. When you look at it from nowadays, I strongly believe money was the key ingredient on that. And it was really interesting. Last summer, I did an open-air concert in north of Spain, and I first offered them a very popular program with all different, obviously, the big Italian hits and some French stuff. And they came back to me and said, can't you do Wagner? We know you're singing Wagner. Can't you do some Wagner arias? And I was really wondering, and I said, listen, of course, with pleasure. I was just not sure for an open-air summer concert in Spain that people would really want to listen to that kind of music. And then they told me the story that the first official production of Parsifal was in Barcelona, and they actually waited. It was the year 1913 when the rights expired, so they opened their new production of Parsifal at 12 o'clock on New Year's Eve. So they started
started
12 o'clock
at 12
on the
midnight.
First, at 12 midnight, to be the absolute first outside of Bayreuth to have the privilege to play Parsifal there. Isn't that amazing? I mean, I know that performances in Spain tend to start late, but I mean, a 5 hours opera starting at midnight is really not my dream come true.
Oh my God. So tell us about François Girard, your director, and has he given any new insights to you, or what has he been saying to you about the role of Parsifal?
Well, we've been discussing a lot, and he's extremely well prepared. I think for about 5 years, he's on the search, on the quest himself to finding the key ingredients for this story.
He's called it a mission.
Yeah, well, it is something like that, because I believe if you really want to dig deep and find the roots and the sources and the real meaning of many of these things, it's really a hard time, because even when you read books about it of scientists who really studied it carefully for almost their entire life, you get the impression that whenever you solve something, whenever you have an answer to a question, this answer opens two more doors. And it's never ending. So it's really something that, when you take it serious, can give you a hard time and keeps you awake day and night until you find the real thing. And that's what we're doing at the moment. I think we found a good chemistry, and we're really trying for the good to find that thing. And one of the main themes, I would say, for him in this production is actually the wound and the blood. Because there is this story that the blood that which happens at the end of the opera, that when Parsifal brings the spear home and he finally the spear can heal the wound that never was healing before at Amfortas, and then the spear starts to bleed because it feels that the Holy Grail with the blood of Christ is so close that it's a very, very awkward and spooky thing. So Wagner was taking it very far with the story with the blood. So therefore, I think there is a very good legitimation for the for having a lot of blood on stage. It's also only a symbol. But I think this was the main thing that he found and that ultimately pleased him to find a key to open that treasure.
It actually sounds like you and François Girard are sort of discovering these things together. I know he came with his concept and you did too, but how much are you collaborating?
Well, it's always... I always said it's a movie that we're cutting together. Now I'm working with a movie director and we came up with another idea. I think it's more a stew. So everybody comes with their ingredients and a recipe. So, but since we're so many, we just put all our things together and we cook something that we all like, and we all gave some ingredients on that. And but the most important thing is the result is the stew. So we cannot do something else, but we have to produce Parsifal at the end. But the way we do it and the paths we take can vary and can be different and can change during the rehearsal process quite often, because then suddenly you say, well, isn't it that we should do it here? And doesn't that say? And also, I mean, it helps, obviously, to be German and not be the only one. Obviously, René Pape as Gurnemanns. Even for us Germans, the text is very difficult and tough to understand. And when you have then a translation, you have to rely on the translation. It sometimes tends to change the meaning slightly. And when you want to be precise, and unfortunately with Wagner, you have to be precise, because we also have the discussion with Daniele Gatti, who is doing a fantastic job so far. And we're really enjoying also him being part of that process. He also is in the stage rehearsals and giving his input and helping out and sometimes saying, you know what, there's this musical change here, we have the key change here, and this theme comes three times, but this time it is staccato, and the first it was legato, so we should find a reason for that, so it's better. He doesn't move here, but he moves actually there, because that would fit perfectly with the music. So it's really a process that we all together do something. Of course, it helps that François is also more relaxed, because he has done the production in Lyon, so it's not that he doesn't know that it's not working, he knows that it works, but we still try to raise the bar and do it even better and more accurate and add more ingredients, more spices.
you had worked with René Pape, you mentioned him just a second ago, on Faust here at the Met, and Katharina de Leiman is part of your cast as well, singing the role of Kundry. These are people including you, at the very top of your profession. What is the feeling like in rehearsal? It's got to be, things have got to be happening.
Oh, yes, it's fantastic. Also, we just
Peter
had a musical
Matei
rehearsal,
well.
And it's just when you have the opportunity with the orchestra and with Daniela, who really has a fantastic way of working with them and also working with us and showing what his ideas. I always think when I'm listening to the colleagues, you can just put a mic and record it and just bring that out as a recording because it's so perfect. It's like the dream come true. You have the people around you that just open their mouth and do what you were always dreaming of. So it's really a privilege to be part of that production of that crowd.
So you're all a collection of seasoned Wagnerians. What would you say to someone who was hearing this opera for the first time?
I would say, like almost with every Wagner opera, it's maybe not easy to listen to it the very first time. It takes a moment to understand the complexity, but obviously also there are some great moments who have such a huge impact that even when you hear them from the very first time, it's very impressive and it really makes you feel the power and the magic of this piece. It's not as popular as when you say third act of Valkyrie. The there are melodies in it where you heard in every commercial up and down all the time. These are not these kind of melodies. Therefore, it's a holy piece, a piece about something very spiritual. Therefore, fortunately, these melodies haven't been abused by many different other things. I think it's something that an extremely unique experience to listen to that music. And Wagner has this tendency, especially here in Parsifal, more than in many, many other pieces, I would say. Almost, this is the piece where he almost takes your hand at the beginning of the performance and he just shows you his world. I mean, it's a path. It's such a strong will that he expresses, that it's almost impossible not to follow him, not to get sucked into this magic and mysterious world of the Grail. You're going to see.
I remember you making your Met debut back in 2006, singing Alfredo in La Traviata, and that just doesn't seem very long ago, but so much has changed for you. Don't you feel like it?
Well, it has. Well, I mean,
the
job is still the same, and it's still much fun to do it. But obviously there is more success, and through the success there's more attention and
more opportunity
but also more pressure and everything, that people just say, oh yeah, let's see if he really can do the trick. So it's not that I, when I'm performing, feel that I really should show or feel the need to show something extra. I'm just enjoying it so far still. But of course, there's a lot that has changed at that time. I was only a minor ingredient in the big show of Angela Gheorghiu, and I was myself extremely surprised when I realized that the audience was actually taking note also of my appearance and what I've done at that night. And since then, you're right, many things have changed. But nevertheless, it's still a great pleasure to be here and to sing in this beautiful house. And I'm never getting tired in telling the people and the young singers when they say, oh, how is it? It must be so stressful. It must be so terrible because it's so big and everything. It's on contrary. It's just so much fun because that's finally a room where you really feel that your voice can unfold and just do the full range of power and of abilities.
You're such a committed recitalist.
Yeah.
As well. Tell us about what nourishment, artistic nourishment, you get from doing recital work.
Well, it's something special. Actually, it's not so far away from operas like Parsifal, because even though people believe that Wagner means only forte music, it's not only loud. When you carefully read the scores, I always say that you will find much more piano and pianissimo marks than there are forte and fortissimo marks. So therefore, in a piece like Parsifal, where you have the possibility to show almost as many colors as you can in a lead recital, because there are the very strong, very demanding moments, but there are also the super tender, super soft things where you really can play with the words, and there are really tons of opportunities to show what you're capable and what your instrument is capable in doing. But I still believe that there's no media, no other possibility than in the lead recital to really show everything and to have everything in your control and in your hands, and you're the one to really tell the story, and that's what I really, really love very much. And you have the pianist with you, that is just a magical experience of making music.
Is Parsifal a vocal challenge?
Yes, it is a vocal challenge. Parsifal is, the part of Parsifal is not such a long part, but there are some very, very tough outbreaks. And as I said, it's going back and forth all the time. And at the end, you need the heroic sound, but just before, you need also the very tender and beautiful sound at the so-called God Friday Zauber, God Friday magic, the Karfreitagszauber, the beautiful, most beautiful music, when the idea of Wagner was that suddenly the desert would turn into paradise, so flowers would start to grow and the whole thing was turned upside down out of the winter time. Then the spring breaks through within 2 minutes of music, and these blossoms are very delicate. So that's why you should sing it very soft and not too heavy. And if you can, the thing is, if you've abused your voice, if you've forced your instrument too much in the heavy stuff in second act, then you don't have those soft and tender qualities anymore for the third act.
How is it to be surrounded by the Metropolitan Opera chorus, the men's chorus, in those wonderful parts
that
Wagner writes?
Oh, that's fantastic. I mean, the whole ceremony, the mass in the service in second end of first act, and also the end when finally the Grail and Spear are together. Also, this music is so fantastic. And when the voices come then from the top of the... No, not from the stage, but
they're off stage as well.
They're like off stage, and they're up above in the cupola above the
in the arches,
the big lampshade. So it's
exactly.
So it's fantastic to hear the voices coming from everywhere, just almost like from heaven.
Right.
That's really a blessing only to be part of this production and see this scene and hear it and think, oh God, this is so amazingly beautiful.
Jonas Kaufmann, thanks for being with us.
Oh, sure, my pleasure.